quietness when you sit there listening to that music. You know, think about it. I want you to think about it this morning. I want you to think about it seriously this morning. I've been preaching on what subject? Prayer. Now, if you haven't heard the last two sermons, they are available. And I would hope that you will get them and listen to them because we're building on this whole subject matter. And I trust that you have learned and come to a point where you are now praying in the Spirit. Now, you're just not praying words. You are praying in the Spirit. In that you are praying in relationship to the truths and the concepts that are revealed to us in the book. If you want to know what the will of God is, then you have to know the will of God. And the only way I know the will of God is through the will of God revealed in this book. And the Bible talks about, we've been sharing about the transforming of the mind, that you and I may put to test and substantiate within our hearts what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. Because if you and I pray, and we don't pray in accordance with the will of God, it's not going to happen. Okay? I shared this with the Sunday school class. So I'm going to share it with you. This guy was pulled before the judge. Judge looks at what has occurred, and he says, I understand that you assaulted your neighbor with a hammer. Is that true?
Yeah.
I understand that he was able to take the hammer away from you and escape. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then it shows here that he called the police. And the police then came to your house and to see indeed and to arrest you. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you had another hammer and you assaulted them with it?
Yeah.
And they took that from you?
Yeah.
And while this is all going on, some guy sitting there out there in the courtroom, you jerk! You jerk! You selfish jerk! You jerk! And pretty soon the judge says, hey, out there, I don't know who you are, but you better be quiet. I'm going to hold you for contempt of the court. And the guy stands up. I'm sorry, judge. He said, but I live across from this guy. He's my neighbor. And I've asked him to borrow a hammer from him several times, and he said he didn't have one. Now, the point is, sometimes it takes a while to hammer things into our heads. You have to have things hammered into our heads. And sometimes our heads maybe are a little hard, not too receptive, and that it doesn't get through to us. And we have to really pay attention to it. Sort of like the fly that flew in the cow's ear and came out in the milk. But proves the old adage is true. What goes in one ear comes out the other. So are you listening this morning? The aspect, of course, is all of this brings me to this subject matter that has been one of the most powerful experiences in my life. And that is what I find in the power of meditation. Meditation is to reflect on. And as you reflect on it, you ponder. You ponder on it. You ponder in it in a deep, absorbing way. So that what you're pondering on or reflecting on and the thoughts that are there is going to give you and continue to give into you an attention to it so that you begin to think on it over and over and over and over and again, and you think about it thoroughly. The background of the word meditation comes from the concept of the cow chewing its cud. In other words, when a cow eats, it chews on its grain for a period of time, swallows it. And then after a little bit, it gurgitates it back up and it chews on it some more. Sorry, but that's what it does. Deer do the same thing. They chew on their cud. Then they swallow it again. And I understand that the cow does it seven times. Isn't that amazing? What does seven represent? Perfect. Complete. So if I was going to take that thought and apply it to my study or my meditation and my pondering, then I need to take what I'm thinking on, processing spiritually from the mind of God, process it, think on it, go in through the aspect, and then bring it up again. How many of you have read the scriptures and you saw this and you pondered on it for a while and then you go back and read it again and you see something you didn't see before? How often has that happened? And how often then do you chew on that for a little while? And you ponder on that for a little while, etc., etc. Brethren and sister in the Lord, today, the reason so many of us are spiritually anemic is we don't spend any time meditating. We don't. Imagine yourself, if you will, right in the middle of an auditorium and thousands of people are around you, and they're all talking at the same time. Everyone's talking. Blah, 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 blah. And you're sitting there, and you can't discern one voice in that particular auditorium. You can't understand what any one person is saying. Okay? You can't. This principle, I believe, holds true with you living in this world today. What do I mean by that? I believe that a lot of your prayer lives and your meditation and mine, everyday lives, were surrounded by many, many voices calling for our attention. Calling for our attention. Our children, our wives or husbands, our boss, neighbors, people, relatives, mothers, fathers, all these voices calling. How many phone calls do you get a day? How many voices do you hear? How much do you have that are calling for and wanting and demanding or wanting anyway or desiring your attention and all the aspects of your daily life? Would it seem then reasonable that if you're going to have effective meditation, you're going to have to find a time and a place that you seclude yourself from all those voices? And it's calm. Like peace, like a river, attendeth my soul. There's nothing more peaceful than going and sitting by a river. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked, nor does he stand in the path of the sinner, nor does he set in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight, are you listening? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. And then he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. Its leaf will not wither, and it'll bring forth its fruit in its season. And whatever that person does shall prosper. Now, how many of you really believe that? That if you do indeed take God at his word and you spend time in his word. David said it in 119 Psalms over and over again. If you read it, it's the longest chapter. But he says in there, Lord God, I love your laws. I love your statutes. He says, I love them. And three times in the 119th Psalms, he says, I have meditated upon them. Well, if you really love the Word of God, then why aren't you meditating upon it? Understand that? So you can spend time with something that you love. Why? Well, I just don't love the Word of God. I love the author. Get it? And I really believe this is where I can find and spend time with God. So I believe that meditating and praying sort of has to be interwoven and united in context and concept, because when I'm meditating, I'm praying. I'm praying, I'm meditating. And if I'm praying in the Spirit, that means I'm taking the words and the things and the thoughts and the mind of God. And if nothing else, I am praying for Him that the Holy Spirit will take from the written word, that which is printed in ink, and take it from here to my heart and inscribe it upon the table of my heart, that I can become a living epistle, a living letter from God to be known and read of men. Remember that sermon? Well, how is that going to happen if it doesn't, and I'm not meditating? If I'm not taking the Word of God and thinking on it, pondering on it, deeply, firmly embedded in it, and allowing the thoughts of this book to be permeated into my mind. And during that time, people, that is when the Holy Spirit is going to write those thoughts and those minds and the will of God into your heart. Read 2 Corinthians 3. That's what it's all about. There's a concept of God being able to take His mind, write it into your heart, Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you got to get it here. Not the physical heart, the spiritual heart. Okay? And I believe that if I understand seclusion properly, that I believe that Jesus required it. Are you hearing me? Jesus required it. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I'm going to ask a personal question, I guess. How many of you got your secret closet? Where have you got your closet where you can get away from all the voices that are calling for your attention and you can really, truly meditate and hear the voice of God? Be still, for I am God. And you need that seclusion. You need that stillness. You need that place where you can go into your closet before the Father in heaven and get and close the voices. Shut it down. What does that mean? I guess he knew how important Jesus wouldn't have said for us to go into our closet and shut the door, would he? He wouldn't have said that you and I need to go to a place in secret, would he? And pray to God in secret, right? Or don't you believe? That's the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6:8. That's the Sermon on the Mount. Do you realize that it began by this, that Jesus, the multitude, the apostles came before him, and Jesus, it says, opened up his mouth. The Greek is out of the abundance of his heart. He poured out his heart to those people. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest, richest, most fulfilling teaching of the Word of God, because the rest of the New Testament is nothing but a fulfillment of what he said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. How many of you memorized 5, 6, and 7? How many of you spent time filling your heart with the heart of Jesus by meditating upon those words? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed are the meek. How many of you know that he even said that? You want happiness? You want completeness? Jesus gave you the formula. It's called the Beatitude. Beatitude. This is what your attitude ought to be. How can your attitude be conformed to what it teaches if you haven't spent time meditating and chewing on it and allowing it to transform you and permeate into your heart, that you begin to live it? You live it. It's you. It's your life. It's your heart. When I read the Matthew, I'm listening to the heart of my Lord. I'm listening to his heartbeat. He's pouring his heart out to those who were hearing him. That's what he was doing on the Mount of Olives, up there on the mount. And then think about it, if you will. So what do you have to do today? Well, I'll tell you what most of you and I need to do. We've got to shut our TVs off. Shut them off. Shut off your computer. Shut down your cell phone. Unplug your home phone. Do whatever you have to do to get you in a secluded place where no one but nobody is going to interrupt your time that you're having and sharing with your Father who is in heaven. You have to do that because nobody else is going to do it. They're not going to do it for you. And so godly meditation, as it is found within the context of Scripture, I believe has several really important requirements. Again, you must set time aside to do it. It's interesting to me that the followers of Jesus, all of them went to pray. They prayed at the ninth hour, at noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had that time, and they were there. Remember, Peter was up on the housetop when the sheet came down from heaven, and he was up there in the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They had planned time where they were going to go secluded up on a rooftop, all by himself, praying to his Father, is where God revealed to Peter one of the greatest messages that ever been heard, that God now is no respecter of person, that all who fear him and all nations are now to be received from him. Don't call unclean what I'm calling clean. That was a message that the Gentiles were now to receive the gospel. You understand that? And Peter, of all people, was spending time meditating, praying, and the disciples did that time and time again. We must have stillness to quiet our spirits, because it's a spiritual thing. You pray to God in spirit because God is a spirit, right? Right? We worship him in spirit and truth, don't we? And so the first thing you got to do, if your spirit's going to have fellowship with his spirit, you got to get your spirit in tune. You got to calm it down. You know what's the best way to do that? Carol, what's the best way to calm your spirit? Would you know? What's the best gift that God has given to man that Satan is using all over the place to control people's lives? What's it called? You're going to hear it tonight if you come. All kinds of different types out there today. And it's called music. 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 Have you ever just shut everything down? Maybe tone down the lights, put on some candles, get your tape of whatever it is that you have, and just turn on the music, turn it on low, just sit down, and let that music come through and soothe you. Have you ever done? Do you do that? Find calmness? Because it's there. It really is. And music is one of the greatest gifts that you could allow to permeate in through your mind, through your heart, and give you a stillness. Of course, it takes the right music. I'm not talking about the hard beat, hard rock. No, I wouldn't recommend that at all. In fact, that's probably going to get your blood boiling, raise the hair on the top of your head. I don't know, but I'm telling you right now, I love and I listen to music. And I allow it to permeate the thoughts of it. You know, the Bible says, sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching, instructing one another. Spiritual song. Spiritual song. Make it a spiritual song that feeds your spirit. Allow that music and focus on it to calm you. Because you can't go to God and meditate and really be in a spirit of meditation if you haven't, first of all, calmed your spirit before him. You have to do that. Thirdly, you must have that seclusion, as I've already said. You got to make sure that you're in a place and a point and a time where there aren't going to be any voices disturbing that precious time with God. Are you listening? Mark 1:35. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Now, brother, if my Lord needed to get away into a secluded place, to get away from the voices and the cry of the people, and just have that closeness and that time with God, what about us as his children? We don't need to be and follow the example of our Lord. He needed seclusion. We don't. We don't need to have that quiet, special time where we're in a time of meditating and sharing and praying to our Father in heaven, because that's what he did. Number four, to spend time in stillness or in seclusion and silence requires discipline and self-control. It requires discipline and self-control. It's needed. And your spirits need to have that quietness. You need not only to have physical rest, you need to have time when you get the physical rest you need, right? Well, how about the inner battle? How about the quieting of your spirit? How about bringing your spirit into a time where God can interact with your spirit and you can cry unto him in the moments of meditation? Abba, Daddy, Father, and have that special inner relationship. Because you have got the Holy Spirit. You have God in you. It's not crying. It's not like the prophets of Baal screaming, gnashing, and gashing themselves. You can come to the Father. You can pray to Him without ceasing. You can have communication with God 24 hours a day because He lives in you. The Spirit of God is in you. You are the temple of God. And you can have that inner relationship with the Father on a 24/7 basis if you desire it. And so we must have that sensitivity to the presence of God. God said, I'll never leave you. That means He's always with us. And you've got to be sensitive to Him. I mean, you're at work. And the hammers are coming down. All the voices, all the noise. How many of you can stand there doing your job, your responsibility, fulfilling it as a mother, taking care of all your children and all the voices calling for you, but you can still, in the stillness of that time, with all those voices, feel the power and the calmness of God because you know He's inside. And you can simply say, God, give me the wisdom to raise my children right. God, help me to stay patient. God, give me the spirit of endurance. God, I know You're with me. Get me through the day. Help me be the mother I know You want me to be. Or the dad. Or the workman at work. Glorifying God through the things that you do. Needing that seclusion. There isn't a point or a time in your life you cannot be talking to God. But you still need that point of seclusion. David said in Psalms 119:11, Your word have I translated or treasured in my heart that I might not sin against You. Now, wait. What does that mean? That means the seed. 1 John 3 says, if the seed, the word of God, continually abides in you, little children, you will not continuously practice sin. You understand the power of this book? It's God's mind. It's God's word. And transfer it into your life through meditating, it will empower you to say no. It will empower you to resist the devil. He'll flee from you. That's what it says. What does your Bible say? Stand up to Him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Resist and stand firm against the schemes of the devil. How in the world will you get that power if all you're doing is hearing all the voices? Calling at you, calling at you, calling at you. Don't tell me you don't deal with stress. Don't tell me you don't get all uptight some days and whatever. And that in that time frame at all, you need to be able to know that you have that opportunity. You've planned it. And you're going to do it. And you're going to go out into the woods. Or you're going to go down by the river. Or you're going to go somewhere in seclusion. And you're going to get on your knees before the Father in heaven. And you're going to open up your heart and up His Word. And you're going to meditate on it for a few moments. And then you're going to His throne through your high priest Jesus. And you're going to call on Him for help and power and the needs that you have. And then watch Him do what He's promised to do. There's power in meditation. And allowing the Word of God to increase and grow in the inner man. Finally, you must have a submissive spirit. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's a time of humility. That's a time of submission. And James says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He'll exalt you and He'll lift you. What does your Bible say? How many times you feel down? How many times you just feel like the day's overcoming? It's overcoming you and you just feel like, oh man, I can't wait till this day is over. No, I can't wait until I get to my time of the day when I'm going to go and have some time with God. You see the difference? You see that I have planned, I have disciplined, I got control over my day. I don't let my day control me. I have control over the time frame. I don't have to have a special individual place. I love going to the river, okay? And in Lansing, there's several spots I can go drive down by the river, and that's why I do a lot of my study for my sermons, and I can sit there, watch the river, water, drive, and peace like a river attendeth my soul. Like peace. I mean, there's nothing more peaceful. When I was up north this last week to the men's meeting, I went down to the Rifle River, and I just sat down with my word, and I sat there for a while, and I just watched the water flow. I just watched it. In the quietness. And then I spent some time with God. You need that. I need that. I'm in a battle. I'm in a war. It's a spiritual battle. I fought the good fight, Paul said. I've laid hold of eternal life. And all of us have that same battle. You got to have a submissive spirit. David said, "Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your laws and statutes, and I will observe them to the end." When Joshua was to become the new leader, then take Israel over the Jordan into the promised land, and God came to Joshua and approached him and the aspects of it. It's amazing to me, Joshua didn't call a committee. Got to have a committee meeting before we do this. How many churches today? It's all about committees, meetings, bringing man's minds together to try to figure out what is going to be done with the kingdom of God. I think God already has it laid out, what's going to happen and what's to be done. I believe it's simply you and me understanding His will and reenacting that will. We don't need committees to do that. And what Joshua was told to do by God, God assured Joshua, He said, if you will do this, He said, Joshua 1, 7 and 8, do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded. You do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Are you listening? Don't turn from the left or to the right. Meditate on it. Day and night, Joshua. And you will win every battle. Amazing. Benefit. We're all in a battle. We're in a struggle. We're struggling against our own flesh and blood. We're struggling against the desires of the flesh. We're struggling against what's going on in the world. I don't worry about what's going on in the world. I worry about what's going on in the kingdom. God's going to take care of that other aspect. I live in it, but I'm not of it. I've been transferred out of Satan's kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my Savior, of His Son. That's where I live, and that's where I move, and that's where I breathe. Somebody wants to walk in here and machine me gun down because I'm preaching the gospel, so be it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is Christ. Don't fear Him who can destroy your body. Fear Him who can destroy both the body and the soul. And I'm in God's hands, aren't you? Huh? Don't allow what's going on in the world to affect and control your life. Do according to the will that's here. Meditate on it. The wisdom that comes from God's word is unbelievable. And we should start the day and even maybe end the day with God. Okay? What are some of the results of meditation? Very quickly. You're going to have an inner peace and a calmness you won't find anywhere else. I don't know why some of you, my wife and I, why we watch Fox or any of that news. That's not too calming. I get a little upset with what's going on in the human mind and how they handle problems that are going on that are a result of sin and the fallen man and who he is. I mean, Jeremiah said, "Who can understand the human heart? It's wicked. It's evil." And now the heart comes adultery and fornication and murder and all the other aspects that you and I see out there. And until God is able to give that person a new heart and His own spirit in them, there's not going to be any change. Satan rules the world. It's under his power. And you must understand that by now. And if you don't, it's probably because you haven't spent enough time meditating on the Word of God. Okay? And the aspects of it, I need to be a calm. I am calm. You ask my wife. Do I get upset? I don't let things bother me. I don't, because I spend time with God, and I believe in all my heart He's in control of my life, Melon's life, my children's life. He is in control. And if I pray, meditate, and spend time with Him, God is going to move, and God's going to do His will. And I see it over and over again. I see a deepening hunger for God. I have a desire for Him. I'm like a deer sometimes going and panting after the water. But I want a relationship with God. I want my heart and his heart to be in tune, and I know that's not going to happen in the busyness of my life. Meeting other people's needs and teaching and trying to bring people into the kingdom and God, help them to grow and to mature. That's my life. And to fulfill that, I know I must have time where I am revived, strengthened, and encouraged by the Spirit of God within me. My view of God is enlarged. Some of us need to get the perspective of who God is enlarged in your life. You need to be sensitive and become more sensitive of the fact that He is in you and that He is present in you and that He is at work in you and that He is transforming you and that He's going to, every day, day by day, you're being renewed, changed, strengthened by the power of God. We gain a godly perspective and our eyes become enlightened. I don't see things through President Obama's eyes or whoever. I see things through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is reigning, whose enemies are being made his footstool, who holds the keys of death and hell in his hand, sitting on a white horse, riding victorious. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But God can't work, nor can he move in his people's lives if they're not coming before his throne, meditating and praying and earnestly crying to the Lord, asking him to move. It takes a lot of faith to do that, doesn't it? The pressures of life dissipate in that time frame of your life when you're out there letting God renew you. And don't tell me you don't. If the world, remember, second verse, do not let the world squeeze you, pressure you into its own mold. Isn't it trying to do that? Huh? Don't we all feel that pressure? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get out from under that pressure. Spend some time secluded in the quietness with your Father in heaven. We experience an inner peace, a peace that only the Lord can give. Remember, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace. Also remember what Philippians says, Philippian Paul said, you know, be anxious for nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication, accompanied with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind. Now, how many of you need that? In this world, how many of you need that? What better time to find that quality of peace when you're meditating and spending time alone, secluded with God? You suppose that's why Jesus went up in early morning? Maybe that's what you have to do. Maybe you got to get up earlier in the morning to have some secluded time and spend it with God. If you want an intimacy and a personal relationship with God, I think it's really important that you have that time. Amen? I can't force you to do anything that God's will teaches you, but I can encourage you. Why not bring your will into harmony with God's will? Because I believe God sent his Son down here so you and I could spend time with the Father. Be reconciled to God. Be adopted into his family. Become one of his children. Become joint heirs with Christ. To have all the promises of God given and revealed to us in Christ. And they are yours and mine. Why wouldn't you want to have a intimate personal relationship with the God who loved you, let his Son die for you, who then came through the person of his own Spirit and now indwells you and promises you someday that that same Spirit is going to raise you from the dead. That which is planted, mortal, is going to take on immortality. That which is of this life is going to become celestial. And when you see the Son of God, you're going to become like him. You're going to be transformed. You're going to become an eternal being. Then you don't have to deal with this anymore. Because there's the river there. Remember? The river of life. That river, brethren, sister in the Lord, is a signia and a symbol of peace. There'll be no more war. No more dying. No more crying. Well, he says he'll wipe away all tears. Point is, brother, that's where I'm going. And you know what?
I can say this honestly from the bottom of my heart. Seriously? Are you listening to me? This is my secluded place on the Lord's Day morning. I feel peace here. I feel calmness here. I don't feel any war or battle going on in here. I feel we're here because we love one another. More important than that, we love God who made this all possible. That when we come into this place, we come here with one thing, to shout joyfully unto the Lord. That we might leave and go forth to serve Him joyfully. Looking forward to the next time we assemble together and come before Him in singing and praising God. We can do that tonight. 6 o'clock. You can come here and you can be blessed through the music. That's not green grass, it's bluegrass. That's a miracle that you can have bluegrass. But I'm looking forward to it. 6 o'clock, there will be a free will offering that will be shared tonight with and for the people that are coming to share with us, the Haney family. I'm looking forward to it. And thank Jeff and them who have made this possible. And we just look forward to that, okay? Anybody have any questions on what I've shared with you today? Any at all? Let me ask you one question and I'm going to close. Have anybody here already pictured in your mind that secret place? Kathy, you have? Have you not? Have you thought about it? If you think in your mind that this is somewhere where I could go and spend time and just be with the Lord. Tim and I go down to the dam there, and we sit down by the dam in Portland, and that's where we do our Bible study and our praying and our fellowshipping together, and we sit there and for a while, and we just watch the river, don't we? And last time we were together, what did we see? We saw an eagle. You know, we shared in the nature of God. We shared in the creation of God. And we just have a very special relationship, Tim and I, because we spend time with God in that time frame of our lives. Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth you have for me. Let's stand together. We're going to sing that together.